The message you're about to listen to is brought to you by Pastor Henry Onyedikachi.
If we don't preach the gospel, we cannot expel darkness from the hearts of men. Woe is me if I preach not the gospel. I have a commitment. Necessity is laid on me. I have an assignment to preach the gospel.
Stay blessed.
Just have your seat, have your seat, have your seat. Oh, yes. You are eminently glorious, immaculately beautiful.
I can go on and on, on and on. Oh, my words are not enough. My vocabulary to fail me.
Oh, yes.
God will meet me to cry.
Tonight, I just want to introduce what we have. But this meeting, there will be a lot of prayers, a lot of singing, a lot of dancing in the Holy Ghost, a lot of impartations. Because Lord said I should begin to talk to you about power demonstration. Demonstrations of the Spirit. That's what God said I should begin to talk about today. And he has not told me when I will stop. I could just talk about it and that will be it. But I will just flow with it. Hallelujah. Tonight is a Holy Ghost night. So I will just begin to talk. Wherever the Spirit stops us, we'll stop and then we begin to do some receiving tonight. We're going to, throughout this meeting, we'll be receiving, receiving, receiving. You need to receive some things. Some fire. Some power. Some stirring ups. We will live here to raise the dead. We will live here to heal the sick. Glory to God. Demonstrations of the Spirit. Power demonstration. You know, there is need for power demonstration on earth now more than ever. I believe it's time for believers to begin to do more with the power of God than they have ever done in history. And I believe that. Partly because I know that we are getting closer to the return of Christ. And these are not just things we say. It is as true as it comes. We are getting closer and closer to the return of Christ. And when I make those statements, it doesn't get me scared as for whether I'm going to miss heaven or I'm going to be in hell. The fear that actually rises in my heart is one day I'm going to stand before Jesus and they're saying it's going to be very soon and I'll have to give an account of everything. I'm going to talk about how many souls I won. I'm going to talk about what I did with the deposits that he has put inside of me. And I'm going to talk about that one day. So every time I hear we are close, my heart skips. Not because, of course, I've never been afraid of hell. At least, since I knew the gospel. But there is more. Are you getting the point? Thank you, Lord Jesus. These are the days of power demonstrations. By power demonstration, we mean it's time to begin to flow in the Spirit. Now, I'm not talking about, I want to explain this. I'm not talking about possessing the power of God. Right? The reason is because every man that is in Christ already is indwelt by God's power. Colossians 2 verse 10 tells us that we are complete in him who is the head of all principalities and power. What it means is that everything you can find in the head of all principality and power is working in the believer. And if you guys don't know who the head is, you know, let me start. When you hear principality and power, don't always be thinking negative. Some of you, the only principality and power you know is negative or whatever. No. It's not always negative. Of course, there are principalities that govern the satanic world. But in this context, do you understand? It's not talking about demons. Amen? There's a book I gave you to read sometime last year. A book by Kenneth E. Hagin. Do you remember? That addressed this particular thing. How many of you read The Triumphant Church? Do you remember this? What I'm talking about? If you didn't read it, it's part of those things we keep talking about. Well, so if you start from verse 9, Verse 9 tells us that in him, that is in Christ, dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead. So in Christ, some of you that are in Enugu Church, this is actually the series we are working on. In Christ dwells all the fullness of the... So everything you can ever find in God is found in Christ. Right? Now, verse 10 now says that in that Christ, meaning in union with Christ, we are complete in him. I get to the point. We are complete. In other words, when we are in union, whenever you see the Bible talk about in him talks about the, in him is short form actually for in union with him. That's why if you use the translation, if you like, use like NLT of this verse, it will say, so you are complete through your union. Every time you see in him, in Christ in the Bible, it's talking about in union with Christ. So Paul is saying that in that union we have with Christ, we are complete in Christ. What that means is that all the power that is at work in Christ is working in the believer. And so when we're talking about power demonstration, you must be careful not to misunderstand it as power possession. Because the believer already possesses the power of God. I mean, the youngest believer today has been made full of the power of God. So what we are learning, or what we are challenging us to do this weekend, is that it is time we rise and begin to demonstrate that which we carry. Because these are the days. And I must tell you, every believer must have that desire to flow in the power of God. And perhaps you're already flowing in some degree, to some degree. You must have that desire to flow much more, to do much more with the power and the anointing of God that is inside of you. We must desire. And the reason why I believe that every believer should flow in this, like I've always taught you, is that primarily the believers are people of power. Every believer, everyone that has put his faith in Christ Jesus is a man of power. And that is not just how we want to hype ourselves up. If I take you through what I'm going to take you through in a very short time, you will see that we are actually people of power. In my note, I said we are a people of power. By the time you are done, you find out that power demonstration is our destiny. Now, what I mean by that is this, right? When a baby is born, the baby has legs, but the baby cannot use the leg. But in the destiny of that baby, walking is in the destiny of that baby, because that's why God gave him legs. I get the point. In the future, in the destiny of that baby that is walking, when he's born, at first the child has eyes, but he can't see nothing. But because of that thing God put in him, in the destiny of that baby. So if a baby grows up and does not see, we say he's sick. Are you what I'm talking about? So it's an anomaly. Because in his destiny, it is written that he will see, he will walk, he will talk. So in the part of the destiny of the believer, right, is that he should demonstrate the power of God. So power demonstration is meant to be part of every believer's identity. What it means is that if you're a Christian and you are not demonstrating the power of God, you are not living as you should. You are living an abnormal life. And I'm going to challenge you this weekend. Every believer should be able to stand over a blind person and speak over the person. Every believer should be able to stand over someone that is poisoned and command the poison to come out. Now, it's in your destiny. Why? That's why God, when he made you, he gave you all of his abilities, all of his faculties. And so because he has given you all of those things, if you do not then work in it, you are the one that did not live up to the expectation. You didn't live up to your destiny. You didn't fulfill your destiny on it. Are you following me, friends? Thank you, Lord Jesus. You know, you've got to be hungry in this meeting. Right? Thank you, Lord Jesus. Now, I have some things I want to give you. And they're not things that can be completed by word. Some of them that are completed by impartation. We must be hungry. What I'm looking for is from this meeting, some of you have to get out there and check demons out of people. You know what I'm saying? Get out there and check cancer out of some people. And send the devil back to hell where he belongs. It's part of our destiny. Because we are people of power. And when I say we're people of power, I mean through and through. To start with, we serve a God of power. Our God is a God of power. Our God is a powerful God. The Bible calls God a God who is powerful. And that's the God you serve. That's the God you serve. Psalm 62 verse 11 tells us, he said, once have he spoken, twice have we heard. What did we hear? That power belongeth unto God. So God is a God of power. So I think it makes all the sense that if a God of power is your God and your father, you too should carry and manifest some power, right? Once, God has spoken once. Twice have I heard this. What did he say? Power belongs to him. You know, there's a scripture I love in the book of Job, and that's Job chapter 26, verse 7. I like it because of how he rounded up his conversation. He said, he's talking about God. He stretched out the north over the empty place and hanged the earth upon nothing. Now think about that for instance. This whole earth is hanging on nothing. No pillars. Where are the engineers? No pillars holding this entire universe. You look up there, you wonder, what if the cloud collapses? What if the sun sinks? Do you know how high the sun is located? No pillars. He hung the earth on nothing. He binded up the waters in his thick clouds, and the cloud is not rent under them. Give me an answer of this verse. I want to understand what he's saying. He said he wraps the rain in his thick clouds, and the clouds don't burst with the weights. So the rain is up there in the cloud, and the cloud does not explode because of the weight of the rain. And someone's power is sustaining. You know, I was telling some people this afternoon, I told them, I said, if you pay attention to this world very well, you know that there is God. This world is too structured and too supernatural to say that there is no God. We are talking about childbirth, for instance. The fact that a baby begins to grow in another person. Ever thought about that in your head? Begins to grow in another person, grows 2 months, 3 months. At some time, a full human being comes from another person. God is powerful. He wraps the rain in his thick clouds, and the clouds don't burst with the weight. Now continue. He holdeth back the face of his throne and spreadeth his cloud upon it. He had compassed the waters with bounds until the day and night. Give me like an end of this verse. Because he's using nature to tell us how powerful God is. He said he created the horizon when he separated the waters. He set the boundary between day and night. So that is day and night because he set the boundaries. Continue. Verse 11 now. Come on, King James. Say the foundations of heaven, the pillars of heaven tremble and are astonished at his reproof. He divided the sea with his power. And by his understanding, he smited the proud. So even the dividing of the sea was his power. That's why, you know, it was normal for him to divide the Red Sea when Moses and the rest got there. Then verse 13. By his spirit, he had garnished the heavens. His hand formed the crooked serpent. Now look at where we are going to with this. Lo, these are parts of his ways. Give me like an answer of this verse. He said, these are just the beginning of all that he does. Merely a whisper. So when you look at nature and how powerful nature is, Job is saying it's just a whisper of the power of God. So when you look at nature, you'll be like, man, God is powerful. Job is saying, you've not even scratched it. He said, who then can comprehend the thunder of his power? The only thing we're seeing is just a whisper. Are you getting the point? Now think of all the amazing things I'm talking to you about God, the way God hung the cloud. How many days did it take him to do all of these things we are seeing? 6 days. Actually 5. The 5th day was man. The 6th day was man, Abi. Just 5 days. And how did he say, let there be, let there be, let there be, let there be. And that was all. And for billions of years, however long you think this earth has lasted, it has not collapsed because of that one statement he made in Genesis. Are you getting what I'm talking about, friends? So the cloud is still hanging up there because one day God said, let there be, and let the cloud, and it stayed. So when we say a believer should be a powerful person, start from the God we serve first. Thank you, Lord Jesus. So when you hear that somebody commanded rain and they stopped, you say, ah, how is that possible? How is it not possible? When there is a God, the God you serve and the God you carry, spoke to the cloud and it has stayed there till now. Spoke to the sun has not collapsed. This world is too properly structured. You know, the more science tries to disprove that there is God, the more they are proving that he exists. The world is too structured to doubt. Do you know, the distance of the sun from the earth is so properly calculated that if it gets closer, all of us will melt. If it goes further, it's no longer serving its purpose. Properly positioned. You can't say there is no God doing that thing. You can't say that. The world is that structured. Thank you, Lord Jesus. I'm trying to show you God is powerful. The God we serve is a God of power. Power, therefore, is meant to be part of the believer's daily life. Because that's the God you serve. Another thing I would like to show you is that apart from the fact that we serve a God of power, the process, and I've explained this many times, the process that, you know, Job said something here. Watch. Job said all of these things we see in nature, he said that a whisper of his power. And then Job talks about the thunder of his power. Those are figures of speech, right? So by whisper, he means just small power. By thunder, he means the fullness of his power. So Job is saying, if all that, now what if the thunder of his power now comes? Now, that thunder of his power, that fullness of his power, is what was deployed in creating the believer in Christ. I'm going to show you in the Bible very shortly. So the process through which you became a believer is the most powerful process on earth. Now I'm trying to show you that the process that formed you is power. Let me show you, of course, the popular Ephesians 1, verse 18. We prayed it today, we prayed again and again. He said, the eyes of your understanding, Paul was praying for them. The eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that ye may know what is the hope of his calling, and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the sense. Verse 19, watch. And what is the exceeding greatness, take note of this word, the word exceeding, the word greatness, the word power, to us all who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him. So when did God demonstrate the exceeding greatness of his power? When he raised Jesus from the dead. And so the exceeding greatness of God's power was what was used. You know, when you look at this word exceeding greatness of his power in verse 19, you know, the way that I was studying it in the Greek, even recently, last night I was still looking at it, it looks like a tautology. Right? Those words exceeding. The word exceeding, for instance, is from the Greek word, hupabalo. Hupabalo. Hupabalo means to throw something beyond the mark. It means that what was needed was to throw this particular whatever I have to get here, but I threw it and it landed at Holy Ghost. Do you understand? And they say, we exceeded expectation. So the power deployed in raising Jesus from the dead is exceeding. They use another word, greatness. That word greatness is from the Greek word megatos. That's where you get the word mega. So you see the Bible, Paul, it looks like Paul was confused. He was looking for the adjective to use to qualify what he's talking about. The capacity, the intensity of the power he's trying to describe here. He said that power was used in raising Jesus from the dead. And that's very interesting. You see other words like walking. The word walking, that verse is the word energia. That's where you get the word energy. The word iskus there. The word mighty there is the word iskus. I-S-C-H-U-S. It means forcefulness. So you see, there are about 5 terms used to describe the kind of power used to raise from the dead. In this one verse, exceeding, greatness, walking, might, these are powerful terms used to talk about power in the Greek. But Paul gathered all of them in one verse because he was trying to, it's just like when I'm trying to show you how beautiful a girl is. I said, this girl is exceptionally, I mean,
bombastically. I mean, I'm just looking for the words. Do you understand? I'm just trying to show you. She's. Give me words. Come on. Huh? Fantastically. I'm just trying to. You know, all I'm trying to show you is that I can't really put. I don't know the right adjective to use. But just know that all this power was deployed in raising Jesus from the dead. Now look at where it gets interesting. That resurrection of Jesus is actually what produced the believer. Because it's by that resurrection that we came. He rose from the dead and then we rose with him. So that process that produced the believer, God used all of his power to do it. God, give me like amplified of this verse. So that you get it. Amplified, classic. Yeah. And so that you can know and understand what is the immeasurable and unlimited and surpassing greatness of his power in and for us who believe, as demonstrated in the working of his mighty strength. Look at all the terms used. Immeasurable. Go back to that verse 19. I'm coming to verse 20. Immeasurable, unlimited, surpassing greatness. Look, the amount of power and work when Jesus was about to rise from the dead is the highest you have ever seen. Because why it was that powerful is that the resurrection of Jesus was not just his physically rising from the dead. It involved many things. It involved physically rising from the dead. It involved rising from spiritual death. It involved the first time a man could test eternal death and come out. Because in those 3 days, he died spiritually. He died eternally. What that means is, he descended to hell. He died the second death. You know, the Bible talks about second death. He died all those deaths in those 3 days. And then, it was time to reverse the process. Every power was deployed. The dream of God for ages was being fulfilled. Everything is to say, the whole power of God went into motion. Angels stared at these things. Angels were amazed looking at it. All the power of God. And he rose from the dead. But it's not just that he rose. Something else came out from that rising. Ephesians 2 and verse 4 tells us something else came out from that rising. Thank you, Lord Jesus. He says, but God who is rich in mercy, for his great love, wherewith he loved us, even when we are dead in sin. Give me like an NLT of this verse. Oh, thank you, Lord Jesus. That even though we are dead because of our sins, he gave us life when he raised Jesus Christ from the dead. So when he was raising Jesus, that resurrection brought life to us. So that process, so in verse 6, he now tells you that not only did he rise, give me verse 6, for he raised us from the dead along with Christ. So when he was rising, we rose with him. So the process that brought the believer back from spiritual death is the strongest demonstration of power ever. So the believer is a product of power, bettered by power, produced by power. It is abnormal for the believer to live like a normal person on earth. It's abnormal for you to live like a normal man on earth. Do you know how you came to be? You think because it was easy, just can say, Jesus, come into my heart and it happened. Do you know what it took to get that to that point? Do you know what happened? You were a product of the greatest flow of God's power on earth. It should be normal that a believer should be supernatural. Yeah. It should be normal. Thank you, Lord Jesus. So Jesus told them, except a corn of wheat fall to the ground and die, it abideth alone. But when it falls to the ground and dies, he said it bringeth forth much fruit. So Jesus was that corn of wheat that fell to the ground. When he died, when he was coming up, he came up with much fruit. That fruit is you and I. So that his rising from the dead is what produced you. That power process produced you. So it's like God mobilized the thunder of his power in Job's words. The thunder of his power. So I've thought this many, many times that when there's a good song people sing, I like the song, I'm just saying. You know this, oh Lord my God, when I know some wonder, consider all the works thy hands has made. I see the stars, I hear the rolling, thy power throughout the universe. Very good song. Then sings my... Aha. Look at what I'm trying to show you.
you do not, the songwriter is correct and all of that. But I tell you, all those things he described in that song is not up to 1% of the power of God. You want to see the real power of God in manifestation, look at the believer. The process that formed the believer is what we should look at and shout, how great thou art. Because that's where God released everything, brought everything into being. Do you know the process? It turned men humans to gods. That process turned dead men to living men. Scratch that, not living men, to life-giving spirits. Because the first Adam was a living being, but the last Adam is a life-giving spirit. It's after that order. That process produced you. It was a whole lot. So it needed all the power of God there could ever be. So when a believer is doing some powerful things, don't say, who is this one? No. The real thing is that should be his normal. That is what produced him. Right? Power bettered us. Thank you, Lord Jesus. So we are a product of power. Ooh, thank you, Lord Jesus. So I think it is normal for the believer to flow in supernatural, because first of all, I say because God that he serves is a God of power. Now I'm saying he's a product of power. Can I say one more thing? Because the believer in Christ has a heritage of the supernatural. Now let me explain what that means. We are Africans and all of us believe in all these ancestral things. The Bible. What I'm trying to show you is that if we trace your ancestry, the people in your ancestry were powerful men. Now don't argue yet. Because I know you are thinking about Onishi. You are thinking about Ugoona, all of them. I'm not talking about those people. Galatians tells us chapter 3 verse 29 about our new ancestry in Christ. He said, if ye be Christ, then are ye Abraham's seed. So the believer must trace his ancestry to Abraham. I get the point. Give me like NLT of this verse. NLT, New Living Translation. Now that you belong to Christ, you are the true children of Abraham. So listen, if I'm a believer and there is a Jew, an Israelite that is not a believer, he is not Abraham's seed. I am. Do you follow? In the natural, he might be. But the real Abraham's seed that has access to all the promises God made to Abraham is with men that are in Christ now. That is the new ancestry. So in that ancestry, we see Abraham. In that ancestry, we see Isaac. In that ancestry, we see Jacob. We see the prophets. We see David. We see Elijah. I get what I'm talking about. So if you look at where you have a heritage of power. A man called Abraham sat down, raised in his house 318 men, took the 318 of them, and went and fought four kingdoms and came back victorious. Not one person died. That's not normal. Talk about the power of God. That's the lineage you come from. That's your background. I'm running a background check on you. I'm finding that your father was a powerful man. Your grandfather, a powerful man. That's the lineage you come from. It is abnormal to live a normal life as a believer. It's abnormal. Time will fail me. Hebrews 11 verse 32. To talk about men like Gideon. Do you remember that place? What man shall I say? For time will fail me to tell of Gideon, of Barak, of Samson, of Jephthah. That mentioning men in your lineage. Of David, of Samuel. Samuel. That prophet, Bible said, none of his words failed. That's your lineage. So when you see me prophesy, I'm not doing something strange. My father did it. My grandfather did it. My great-grandfather did it. Now, if you understand what I'm telling you, you find out that a believer should bother less about ancestral causes. Because in Christ gives you a new lineage. A new spiritual heritage. Samuel and of the prophets. Continue.
Oh. Who through faith subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouth of lions, quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness you are made strong, waxed valiant in fight, turned to fly the armies of the aliens. Women received their dead raised to life again. Now that's your lineage, my brother. I was going through this and I was like, if you know, one of the ways I'll be angry if I get to heaven is if I die and I didn't scratch this deposit inside of me. If I die and no dead had come back to life, if I would just, I'll be so frustrated in eternity. Because by the time I look at where I'm coming from, look at where you're coming from. You know, when you want to leave for school, your parents tell you to remember your family. I'm asking you to remember your family. Have you heard of David's mighty men? These guys will fight. One of them can take. These guys, you are dangerous. And all by the power of God. All by the power of God. Talk of Elijah. Talk of Elisha. Say all you can about Elijah. I know you might not like everything he did, but the man was powerful. Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Elijah was powerful. Elijah was a prophet. You know, he will stand before kings and tell them what will happen. And the audacity, he said, there shall be no rain nor dew for 3 years until, he said, until, did he say 3 years? He said, until I speak. That's some boldness right there. I've locked it up, the keys in my pocket. So if you want it to change, come and ask me. And these things are not just coming to excite you. That is your lineage. That's your heritage in Christ. That's your heritage. You know, I meditate on these things I tell you sometimes. That's your heritage. And then Elisha, another dangerous guy, that when he died, his bones, they were still taking dead people to his grave. And his, you know what it means, his bones? Now, what it means is that buried him there, he had decayed and was done decaying. He was done smelling, done decaying. No, that has taken many years. And they just casually put a dead person in there. And he touched the bones of Elijah and Elisha came back to life. That's where I'm coming from. I want to just sit down for a moment. I'm trying to get you to somewhere. I'm trying to get you to the point where when you see yourself, because this weekend we are going to contend for the supernatural. We'll pray. We'll pray. We will receive and receive. We will manifest and manifest. Kaya la toranda. So that's the lineage. You look at Elijah, you look at Elisha, you look at Micaiah. And I love how these prophets talk. They held a meeting in heaven. Oh, what happened to Israel? Micaiah attended it. He said, I was in a meeting in heaven. I think about that. I think about these guys. He said, and I heard they were arguing about who will go and convince this king to misbehave. And one demon stood up and said he wanted to do it. So Micaiah was present. So can't God raise a man here who will be present when the fate of Enugu State will be decided? That's the lineage you are coming from. Are you following me, friends? And I'm not trying to talk to pastors or ministers. I'm talking to believers today. It's our heritage. And I've said it many times. From the time I got born again, maybe I'll talk about this tomorrow. One of the people I don't like interact. If I come close to you and you're a believer, and I'm talking about passion, raising the dead, and you don't respond, it doesn't do anything to you, we will stop talking. Yes. Well, it means you don't even know why you're existing. We want to empty graves. We want to send the devil out of town. It should bother you. That's your lineage.
No, it's just like you're sitting there one day and they're telling you about your history. That your great-great-grandfather was a very wealthy man, he was a billionaire, he was the richest man. Your grandfather, the same thing. Your father, the same thing. And then you're looking at yourself, you don't have 1,000 in your pocket. You should ask yourself, what is wrong with me? This thing runs in our lineage. Why should it stop with me? Thank you, Lord Jesus. A heritage of the supernatural. Then you talk about Jesus too. Both our as our Lord and as our example on earth. His incarnation, as he taught this earth, he was powerful. He was power on two legs. Which dead did he not raise? You know, I found that Jesus never attended any burial. Except to raise the dead. Now read your Bible. Not once. Jesus met with lack. He never left it the same. He met with, and that is, I'm not talking about Jesus as our Lord now. I'm talking about him in his incarnation as our example. You know, he's our example too, in how he walked the earth. And you know, you say, but that one is Jesus. I don't compare us with him. Well, let me tell you, Jesus was fully human on earth. And I used to remind myself about that all the time. It has helped me. Even when, in all these struggles with sin and all of that, I used to tell myself, you know, Jesus was fully human on earth and he didn't commit sin. See, it means someone can get to that point. God can help you. I feel what I'm talking about. Yeah, I stop myself. You know, what I'm trying to show you, everything I'm talking about is, whenever you read your Bible, you see Elijah, you see Elisha, you are looking at your potentials. What you can become is what I'm reading. Which you may become or may not become is up to you. Do you get the point? But these are what you can become. What you can be. What you can be. Can I put it another way? What you've been destined to be. That you may or may not be. All up to you. Then you look at the apostles. The early Christians. You see apostles, those ones. Same thing. The boldness they put Peter in prison, he will break out. By the power of God, sir. Are you following what I'm talking about, friends? By the power of God. Dorcas dies. Peter comes, raises him from death. Look at all those guys. You look at Philip. An ordinary Philip. Went to Samaria to preach. Acts chapter 8. I love reading Acts chapter 8, verse 5. From verse 4, the Bible tells us when Philip got to Samaria, you see, the other one was preaching. Verse 5, Philip went to Samaria and preached Christ unto them. What happened in verse 6? And the people gave heed to this, he said, and they saw the miracles which he did. What are the miracles? Unclean spirits crying with loud voice came out of men that were possessed with them. Many taken with palsies, many that were lame, were healed. And there was great joy in that city. And I keep reminding you, Philip wasn't an apostle. In fact, go to verse 5, because this statement I made is very important. Go to verse 5. Go to verse. Give me like Amplified Classic. Read me, brother. Philip, the deacon, not... He had to specify. Philip, the deacon, not the apostle. In case you are thinking it's Apostle Philip. The deacon. The food sharer. The one who was an usher in church. Went to Samaria. I'm going to say to you, any church you attend that is not preparing you to be a mighty man of God upon the earth is failing you. This was a deacon, ordinary deacon, enter Samaria. And yet, a minister or leader from church can go to NYSC camp and travel from there with his spiritual life. Every trained believer, when he enters a strange land, he has entered a foreign mission. Do you know Philip was not sent to Samaria for ministry? Are you aware? He wasn't sent. What happened was that there was persecution. Everybody was running. So he ran and the place he entered was Samaria. And he started preaching and started working miracles. Like he wasn't sent. That's why I said to you guys, you are in the UK, they are schooling. You are in the US, you are doing this. You went to Ogun State. You've arrived as a missionary. I wish you can begin to check out devils from people. Oh, this one is not let's package. We are sending you now. Let the whole church say we are sending you to Ethiopia. No. Philip wasn't. There is that kind of sending. Like Paul and Barnabas were sent. But Philip wasn't sent.
He was running. Like, I could just imagine how he ran out. They were killing believers one by one. So I can imagine they were nearing his house. He jumped window and ran and landed somewhere and asked somebody, where is this place? Say, Samaria. I say, eh. Glory to God. You know, we don't need to die through persecution yet. And that's not because God, we just want to be enjoying life, because there is work to be done here. He said, oh, that is Samaria. I said, okay, fine. What's wrong with that guy? He said, he can't see. He can't see. Come. Your eyes are open. I don't guess how many sick people here. Let's start doing something. This was Philip. The whole city gathered. Now, that is Philip. He said, Philip, the deacon. If I'm a bike classic, underline that. The deacon, not the apostle. I wish one day I can talk about it like that. And look at you and mention your name. And say, the chorister, not the pastor. Are you getting the point? You know, not the pastor. Oh, yes. We are the light of the world. We are a city that is set on a hill. We are the salt of the earth. Streams from the river of joy. But no man ever lights a candle, only to keep it in a hidden place. We are here on earth for a plan and a reason. Dominion is our call. We are not rats that run in a hopeless race, but we are lions in the winning race. We have power over all the power of the enemies. The devils are defeated for. Come on, we are not here to hide under the seats. That's our heritage. Philip, Stephen, Paul. Philip later trained. Philip was the man that raised 4 prophetesses in his house. He passed it on to generations. Bible says the last time we saw Philip, 4 of the daughters were prophets. 4 ladies, prophetesses. In one house. Regular Christians. Just on the streets. Full of the power of God. This is our destiny. I wish I had time to talk to you about other people in your heritage. Not from the Bible now. But even, I wish I could talk to you. Of course, I know you know about Catherine Kuhlman and all those ones. But I wish I could just leave those people. I know Catherine Kuhlman, I know Charles Finney. But you know, there are Nigerians that have walked and touched these things. I wish I could tell you about Joseph Babalola and tell you about Garrick Sokari Braid and tell you about Archbishop Benson Idahosa. People that just walk this earth. Tell you about Pa Elton. Just regular people. Regular people. In your lineage. That's where you come from. So next time they're talking about ancestral cause, stop looking at only issue one now. One man. Look at your lineage. Galatians 3 tells us your lineage. He said, they that are Christ's are now Abraham's seed. That's where we come from. That's where we come from. So it should be normal. To see us flow in the power of God should be normal. Thank you, Lord Jesus. It's our destiny. You know, one of the things I spent time doing this week, I was just reading of some men that have walked this earth. Guy, you know, the first book I read in my life, first Christian book I gave attention in my life, was God's General. And I read that book and told myself, if you die ordinary, you're a fool. We are the light of the world. We are a city that is set on a hill. We are the salt of the earth. We're streams from the river of joy. But no man ever lights a candle. God cannot put all this inside you. So you can just stay one place and just be doing, oh God is. He didn't blow dust so much to hide us under a bushel. He gave us that we can use it.
No man ever lights a candle, only to keep it in a hidden place. We are here on earth for a plan and a reason, and dominion is our call. We are not rats that run in a hopeless race, but we are lions. We have power over all the power of the enemies. The devil is defeated. Come to me, all you who are weak and heavy laden. Come drink in the waters of life. The word of the Lord is a weapon, my friend. And of the increase of his kingdom, there shall be no end. As he is now in the heavens, so we ride here on the earth. We are to rule this earth with a rod of iron, until all his enemies bow. We have power over all the nations, for we are riding on the eagle wings. Jesus, our head, once was dead, but now he lives forever. But a man of honor who doesn't understand surely will die like the beast in the field. That's the point. There are many believers who are just dying, living and dying like every other idiot. You get into a school and you exist like every other animal in the school. You just register and you come out. Nothing. Nothing. No blind eye saw. No devil jumped out of someone and you graduated. You should go back to school. You didn't change your school. You can't say, oh, I remember this guy, I laid hands on him, I did this. You didn't get anybody filled with the Holy Ghost. You didn't cast out them. You should go back to school. You should go back to school, though. You just exist. You get into an environment and there is nothing. These are the days for the power of God to be demonstrated. For you are God, so you children of the Most High. For you only prosper by the truth you know. But if the foundations of the earth is destroyed, what can the righteous man do? You put your hands to the plow, but you look back. So you are not worthy for the price of the call. See, the whole of creation is groaning as they are calling for the sons to show. But a man of honor who doesn't understand surely will die like the beast in the field. It was Moses, the father himself, showed us the way. He said, the prophet will the Most High raise, and unto him shall the gathering of the people be. We seek a city whose foundation is the Lord's. Come out from among them. Try to take command this time. We must follow Jesus, the Lamb of God. Hold the Lamb. Hold him till the end. Hold the Lamb. No matter the pressure. Hold the Lamb. And every word he says, just hold him till the end of time. Hold the Lamb. Listen, you know one major reason why we need much of this? Is it soul winning? Soul winning demands power demonstration. You can't enter the camp of Islam like every other person. You can't enter the camp of Islam and you can't touch a polio patient and his leg straightens. He says, sir, but we don't need power to win souls. That is true. The word of God is powerful enough. But sometimes you need power to have audience, to be able to preach. Are you following what I'm saying now? You need power to have audience. So that you need power for them to be able to listen to you. Try it. Get to a junction after this weekend. Preach, heal 1, 2, 3, 4 persons. All of them will listen to you. Stand there in that junction. Say, I don't know what I'm hearing, but one of you here has a pain in his chest. The other one, people begin to come towards you. Power it draws people. Have you not observed almost everywhere in the Bible where Jesus himself spoke about soul winning?
Either he talks about power first or second. Watch, observe it. For instance, Matthew 28 verse 18, he said, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given unto me. Then, verse 19, go ye therefore. He talked about authority before he said go. Are you following what I'm saying? Another example, Mark 16 verse 15, the same rendering. Mark 15 verse 16, or 16 verse 15 rather. He said, go, tell them, go ye into all the world. Preach the gospel to every creature. Verse 16, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. He that believeth not shall be damned. Verse 17, these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name shall they cast out. Every time he talks about soul winning, he begins to discuss power. Because if you want to see results, something must be flowing through you. Another example, Acts 1 verse 8, but you shall receive power after the Holy Ghost shall come upon you, and you shall be my witnesses. Before he began to talk about being a witness, he said you shall receive power. Every time he wants to talk about that particular soul winning thing, he will discuss the power of God. Because until your hand begins to control some things. And I tell you, the thing about it is, the reason why many people are not flowing this is because they are not even aware. Our address is tomorrow. They're not aware. Two, they don't even want to do. They don't even care. Because why am I saying that? Remember how we started? You have been filled with the power of God. Are you aware? We are created with power. We are full of power. So what's the problem? Some of us don't care. That's the problem. Now, I'm not here to make a mockery of you, but listen to me. If you're a Christian, you've been Christian for 3-4 years, and you cannot open your mouth and say, thus says the Lord. You cannot say, I see by the Spirit. You cannot, something is wrong with you. I don't want to insult, but something is actually very, very wrong with you. And this meeting wants to correct your head. You're living an abnormal Christian life. There's a message I'm going to preach one of these days. I've been talking about it. The normal Christian life. A man, Mochmani, wrote a book about it. This I'm teaching now is a normal Christian life. Because when you see people cast out devils, say, that guy, Desha, that is the normal Christian life. This weekend we will learn. We will practice. That's why we came. That's why we came. Soul winning demands power. Don't you see what Philip did in Samaria? He just got there. Everywhere, Bible says, verse 8 of Acts chapter 8, he said, the city, there was joy in the city. The greatest principality that has held that in that community captive, his name was a man. What's his name again? Elymas, right? But he was so shocked. He was just looking at what he has never seen it before. He has been confusing them with magics. But Philip came there. No magic. No bring this. He didn't mix salt and water. He would just say, blind eye open, deaf ear open. And he was watching. He has never seen it before. Bible said he too believed, even though we know he didn't later believe. He didn't believe. But everybody, it looked like the whole city believed. I've had a taste of what I'm talking to you about. I've had a taste of it. But we're going to see more. Soul winning becomes easier. How many of you are interested in what I'm talking about? Because I want us to leave this place with at least if you don't catch anything, let your mindset change. See it that raising the dead is the normal Christian life. I know we're a teaching church, we're a word church through and through, and I have no, take nothing away from that. We're a word church. But a word church, that a word Christian who is not a power Christian is not really a word person. Because if you're a word person, you'll be a power person. We are the light of the world. We are the city that is set on a hill. So in demands power. In demands power. Let me say one last thing before we close. I don't think we can go for all of this today. Just have a seat for a moment. Have a seat for a moment. Ooh. We must win souls. We must. You know, I didn't... Keep playing. Don't stop. I'm closing already. I didn't know and I didn't plan to be a pastor, when I began to contend and see the mighty move of God. And I like telling stories about those days when I wasn't a pastor. Because if I tell the story now, you say, well, you're a pastor now. But I wasn't a pastor then. When some of you met me, I wasn't a pastor. I was just a normal person. I don't even know how I became a man of God. I don't even know how I became popular. All I know is that I could just stay. I was just helping people. I stayed in a school environment. Sometimes 3 a.m. people are knocking on the door. Somebody's about to die. All those drama. And people will be coming. And sometimes simple prayer. Power draws people. It draws people. Some of that I came to minister in your school, in my secondary school, you know. Now, some of you don't even remember the first day, anything I preached in any of those visits. Who remembers anything I preached in a secondary school? Anybody that? If I came to preach your secondary school, let me see your hand. Do you remember anything I preached? Huh? What do you remember? People were falling, people were standing, people were rolling. That's the only thing. I'm just telling you. Sometimes as you are walking in, that's what I'm going to say to you. As you get to the field, don't go with oratory skills. It doesn't help anybody. All this somebody are speaking, it doesn't help anybody. Do you understand? All those things, it doesn't help. All this, you know, it doesn't help anybody. Just know the word. Present it in its simplicity. You know, why we try to add big grammar and go deep, sometimes because we are empty. When your words are full, they can come out simple, but they will keep ringing in the hearts of men. You know, the point is, you know, this is one who pray for the deaf because of knowledge, pray for the blind. He said, command your iris, your eyeball to respond. It's okay to pray like that. But you know, the men of old, they didn't even have any knowledge of how the eye functioned. They just command the eyes to open. There are people. And I was listening to a man of God earlier today, and he was talking about Reverend Dr. Mawakwai. Have you ever seen thou power of God in the name of Jesus move? If you ever experience that, you know that it's not about big grammar. Say 200 women who need babies. God is giving them babies. The sign is their womb will begin to move. And right at the meeting, their wombs will begin to move in the meeting. You don't need too much. Let me tell you. That's where you are coming from. Where are you coming from? So this, the episcopal of the intricacies of the insulation, those things are not necessary. Know the word, hold power on the other hand. I'm telling you. You teach simply. Look at the simplicity of Rad Bonke's teaching. But look at the crowd. You know, I was listening to someone recently. Benny Hinn did a meeting. Real life story. They called him for a meeting. You know, and when he arrived, they told him you can no longer preach. It was all these Asian countries. But they have heard too much. That all he can, they will allow him to do is to sing. That it has to be a concert. He said, okay. They just played into the wrong hands. Because if you know Benny Hinn very well, once he raised that his hallelujah song, he said, a concert. Let's invite to the stage Benny Hinn. He came up. Oh, we are not empty, man. We are full of the power of God. I've been saying. You know, the thing about it is, there is one reason why we need so much power demonstration. I've thought about so we need. We know there is a Satan on at work on earth. One of the big best things the devil wants you to know is that he doesn't exist. Now, that's what Satan wants you to believe. You know why? Because if you think he doesn't exist, you have to ignore him. So when I see people say there is no devil, it's because they're under the bondage of the devil. That's why they think he doesn't exist. He was one that told them that he doesn't exist. And they bought it. There's a devil upon the earth. But that's not a problem. That's why we'll move. You must do ministry by the power of God. There's the influence of darkness. Last verse I was talking to you about Babylon, right? Do you remember that? The influence of Babylon upon the earth. I would have gone into that. Maybe tomorrow I'll open it up again. I'll just scratch it a little. But a strong influence of Babylon in the lives of men and all of that. And that is the influence of devil, even in people's health, people's sickness, people's businesses. You, a believer, must be a custodian of the power of God. That's rubbish happening in your family. That's why God put you there. Because no man ever lights a candle, right? Only to keep it in a hidden place. We are here on earth for a plan and a reason. Dominion is our call. We are not rats that run in a hopeless. You are not meant to be running up and down. Prophet, pray for me. Some of you came to this meeting so that at least pastor can actually see you and see if he can speak a word over you. Okay, you better wake up. Take nothing away from the pastoral ministry. There are places I have to speak a word over you. But that doesn't replace what God is doing with you. If I have to speak over you all the time, I'm either a bad pastor or you're a bad member. And I tell you what, I'm not a bad pastor. I know myself. You've got to get up. Shake some demons out of town. And the devil upon the earth. You know, it was Bishop Edebo that said, Satan is real, wickedness is real. But more real is the power of God. More real. God wants to raise you as his battle axe. He wants to raise you as his battle axe. He wants to use you to subdue the nations. Now I'm saying this not just to excite you in this meeting, but I'm trying to plant a seed inside you. Some of you are just, you know, we are getting into times of missions and all of that. When you will need, you know, my first encounter with demonic forces was on the mission field. I went with a very crazy leader, positively. Now, I'm not saying this thing is right, but I've seen, I'm not saying you should do it. I'm not saying, disclaimer. I don't do it. We came there one night and we brought a seat and we invited the gods of the land that we came to visit to enter the mid, enter our midst. And I've not seen that kind of thing. I can't explain some of these things to you because you would think we are forging it. You could seriously feel strange presence get into the room. And we knew that we were no longer alone. And we kept a seat at first. Then the scripture came to our mind. Sit on the dust, Babylon. We removed it. All of you see that one? We judged God that night. We saw, let me tell you, it's not every land you enter with grammar. I know what I'm saying. Not this way I'm speaking. They will eat you. And that's not to scare you. That's to awaken you. Because you already carry this thing. All I'm just going to show you this weekend is not how to receive anything. How to pioneer the thing. How to pull up the thing from the inside. Because you are bigger than you know on the inside. He said, greater is he that is in you. You are bigger than you know. I just want to show you how to wake the lion that has been sleeping. How to wake the lion that has been sleeping. How to wake the lion that has been sleeping inside of you. Yeah. So we just went there. I saw that night. I said we felt strange gods in the room. We began to judge one by one. And I was a very young Christian then. I kid you not, I've not been up to 1 month as a Christian. And they invited demons to judge them in my room. The joy is that I wasn't alone. We are five, so. But it worked. It was after that the Lord opened my eyes and I saw. I saw a big tree. And I saw on that tree the destinies of many people in that community on that tree. There's a devil on the air too. And I spoke to my leader about it. I said, I see a big tree. And I see it holding people's destiny. She smiled and told me, no, you didn't see a tree. You saw a human being. She said, that's a human being. He said, let us pray. So we said, every tree, the way we saw it, holding people's destiny, release it. We finished that prayer. The next day, a man was walking around the community announcing, I'm a big tree holding people's destiny. We prayed that prayer inside our room. Nobody heard it. There is wickedness on earth. He went around shouting it. And that's why you cannot afford to just be an ordinary person. Your destiny is not to be ordinary. Let me not even talk about how much you need power in your own personal life. How you get into the business negotiating rooms and you are just there like a puppet. Let me not how you need power in your own personal room. You're a doctor and life is leaving your patient. Of course, people die. People could die, right? Maybe because people are old and they die. But sometimes you can be chemorandala. You know, it was my pastor's spiritual dad got into hospital to pray. And the nurses were rushing to him. Read that story. And asking him to pray for them. And he said, why? He said, because sometimes they sit, really, I'm not saying to scare you. They sit in the hospitals and they see some of the patient's relatives coming with babalawa and with witchcraft to see if they can exchange the life of the patient with the life of the nurse. I'm telling you. You are dealing with real life issues. You can't be ordinary. Now imagine that's happening. Imagine you are sitting as a nurse and you come into the room and you see them conjuring things. Say Napuyandia, Napuyandia. Napo no Sandy. Imagine that. But we're not afraid. That's the point. That's why I said, let's not talk about your personal life. Because do you know another is you need power and mission to even be alive? Sometimes you need the power of God to even survive. How did Jesus fulfill his ministry for 3.5 years? He used power to escape everyone that wanted to kill him. There wasn't time. After they wanted to catch him and he was no more. You get the point? He was, I don't know, how, maybe he ran or he, but he was no more. And power has kept me alive. I don't know ministers that have been shot in the face of battle and they survived. You cannot be an ordinary person. You can't be ordinary. That's why this weekend is the weekend of our lives. Some of you that have stopped contending and being serious about being dramatically supernatural, I have to get back to it. You have to want to be dramatically supernatural. Stopping deaf ears. Causing short legs to grow. I'm trusting God that by tomorrow night, by the time the Lord has brought us to where I want us to get to in this meeting, if anyone here is sick, your legs are shorter, your limbs are shorter, yet they will grow out by the power of God. They will. And it may not even be me that will pray for you. If you have any part of your body missing, they will reappear. Tomorrow we are going to see creative miracles. But it will not just be by me, by your own hands. And it will not be to excite you. It will be so that you can get to the street. And run the devil out of town. Your soul winning, not the evangelists, you are complete and not responding. They should respond more. That's something they will see, they will respond more. That when they ask you, are you a pastor? You tell them, it's Philip, the deacon, not the apostle. The deacon, not the apostle. You know, it's good to always say that. They say, who are you? My name is the information desk officer. Not the pastor. Not the minister. Just a believer. Serving my God. Living to the fullness of my potential in him. Tonight I'm going to ask you to pray. Because I just want to awaken your appetite. We had some things today that I couldn't get up here early. But it's for good. Right? So we're just going to pray tonight. Just very shortly. I just want hungry hearts. Because what will happen to you, some of them will come by my laying of hands, but some of you will unlock things by yourself as you begin to pray. Some things will tear open. Some gifts of the Spirit will jump out from inside of you. Eyes will see, ears will hear. These are the days. These are the days. These are the days. Something I observed that I was reading history. Every man of God I read in God's General and some of these other books, Catherine Kuhlman or Roberts, all of them, during their funeral, go and check what I'm going to show you. Almost all of them, there will always be a prophecy that will go forth in that funeral, that God is raising a generation bigger than what he has done with these guys. Go read all of them. That tells you that whatever we've read in history, God has not started. That's why I don't pray power as of old. No. I don't pray that prayer. What God, he said, the glory of the latter house shall be greater. I don't need that. Are you following what I'm talking about? Shall be greater than the former. We are Kokobarandaya. Many of you in the next 10 minutes, some of you will lose some things here and gain some things. Thank you, Lord Jesus. We are no rats that run in a hope, an endless race, a hopeless race. We are lions in a winning race. We have power over all the power of the enemy.
The devil's a defeated foe. Come to me, all you who are weak and heavy laden. Come drink in the words of life. The word of the Lord is a weapon, my friend. And of his increase of his kingdom there shall be no way. The word of the Lord will not fail.
Take your time, pray. I'm going to give you like 5 minutes. Sir, what do I pray? If you don't just start shouting, Lord, I will not be ordinary. Pray. Well, after prayer, so you just... That's why I sang that song. Jehovah, Jehovah. There are times you just come to God and say, ah, Jehovah. I'm not even going to motivate you. Restore, we cannot be ordinary. We cannot be ordinary. Some of you, I'm waking you up to where you are coming from. Some of you have forgotten yourself. We cannot be ordinary. We cannot be ordinary. We cannot. You've lived an ordinary life a long time. Now are the days for the nations to respond to the Son of God. Now are the days to subdue the powers of the enemy. To say, Elala do Shandaya. Hey, Amalada Baraba, to Cobrenda Shata. Hey, Akaba Baraba, so belebelebelebelebelebelebe Rapogandia. Hey, Abarakekeba, Supre de la Kateka. The Shobaba Shata. Some have taken off, some are getting it. You will enter an agreement with heaven today that the days of ordinary living has gone. The days of ordinary Christianity has gone. This is my heritage. This is my lineage. This is my pathway. Jehovah.
Jehovah, hey, Jehovah, Jehovah, aya, Koyada, Jehovah, let an outpouring. We are just ending an agreement tonight with God that I'm tired of ordinary Christianity. This is not the path you created for me. I cannot walk in it. You didn't design me to just be deaf. I cannot just be deaf. You didn't design me to be ordinary. I cannot be ordinary. You didn't design me like that. You didn't ordain me like that. It's not part of my destiny to live an ordinary life. It's not part of my destiny to live an ordinary life. It's not in my destiny to live an ordinary life. It's not in my future to have an ordinary ministry. I refuse to be ordinary. These are the days of the nations to respond to Jesus. These are the days for the nations to respond to Jesus. These are the days. These are the days. These are the days. This is how the Lord is starting with us. These are the days for the nations to respond to Jesus. These are the days. 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 Streets, you know about him, to know him in the fullness of his power. These are the days.
Jehovah, Jehovah,
some agreements with heaven today. You've got to decide today how far you want to go. You've got to decide today how you want this journey to be. Like every other person, or like men in your heritage, in your lineage. You've got to decide today. Brother, don't live an ordinary life. Sister, don't live an ordinary life. Ah! Choir member, don't live an ordinary life. Usher, don't live an ordinary life. There is more. Power is in your destiny. Pastors, don't have an ordinary ministry. Don't have a ministry that cannot open blind eyes. Don't have a ministry that cannot cast out devils. Say, Lord, I'm tired of ordinary ministry. I wish some of you are praying. Don't be a doctor that cannot heal cancer. Don't be a barrister that cannot cast out devils. Don't be an engineer that cannot open blind eyes. Don't be a student who cannot speak and heavens will respond. Don't be a pastor who cannot cast out devils. My generation, I will not leave you this way. Don't be an ordinary believer. There is more. There is more. Sort it out with heaven. 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 Tired of ordinary Christianity. Tired of living just like this. Please. Please pray. Please pray. Hey, yeah, 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 yeah. Hey, yeah, yeah, yeah. Everywhere, online, on the ground, we are entering an agreement with Jehovah that we will not just be like that. Hey!
Don't be a Christian
who cannot Christian who cannot change his word for Jesus. Don't be that kind of Christian. 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 Whose words will not shut down rain and open up rain. Don't be that kind of Christian. Don't be that Christian who cannot change his word for Jesus. Don't be that Christian who will not condone the power of God. Don't be that Christian. Yes. Don't be that Christian. Hey, yeah, 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 yeah. Don't be that Christian who will not change his word for Jesus. Don't be that Christian. Don't be that Christian.
Is beyond here. Raising the dead is in your future. Casting out devils is your destiny. I'm telling you not just to steer you, but I'm telling you because that's the truth. Some of you, you know, the thing about this meeting is what the Lord told me to share with you when he told me was too simple. So I kept asking him, is that all? He said yes. And what he said to me, there are many of you that before this meeting, for the past weeks, this thing I'm talking about has been a war in your heart. You've been asking yourself, is this all? I don't know, there are some of you that are like that. It's been like that in your heart. You've been saying to the Lord, can we have more? Can we have more? This is why we came.
Restore. Restore. Most High, the God of heavens.
Most High.
Do you know the thing is? There are some of you the Lord said I should rebuke. Some of you singers. He said, I've laid up powerful songs in your spirit. He said, but you've not paid attention to fish to get them. I've put songs in your hearts that will heal nations. That's what I'm hearing in the spirit. But you are not paying attention to get them. He said, you are too distracted. I'm hearing it in the Holy Ghost. You are too distracted. You are too distracted. You are too distracted. That's why I've been dropping those things, but you're not focused to get it. Because some of those songs, the Lord said, they shall be for the healing of the nations. See, by not paying attention. And it's coming as a rebuke to some of you. Oh, yes. It's coming as a rebuke to some of you. Praise the Lord, O ye people. Praise him for his wisdom. The thing is, he has kept his praise away.
We little children and sucklings of the earth. And his wisdom can only be found with the things of the earth. Wisdom is in us. His praise is firmly established in the church of the living Christ. As he is now in the heavens, so we ride here on the earth. Well, to rule this earth with a rod of iron. Until all these enemies. One of the things the Lord said to me is in my notes, I'll talk about it tomorrow. He said, power demonstration will be the answer to many mockeries that the church has suffered in these days. All this mockery. God will give us results, power in display that men cannot argue with. Is the answer to most of these mockeries. The church of Jesus Christ has been mocked, but God is not without an answer. He's not without an answer. So many of you, the Lord will raise you. Some of these mockeries are with false prophets. Some prophets that the Lord is saying, I have not sent. He's saying, I have not sent them. But they've gone forth. And the Lord is saying, many of you, I'm going to raise you. So you'll be an answer to the cries of many. The dignity of the church being restored will have a lot to do with the power of God being demonstrated. And I'm not talking about the big bishops. I'm talking about the believer who has been sent. What I'm saying, I'm talking about killing people, but there is a lot that can happen, and people will say, ah, this one is the finger of God. When Muslim one boy used to share a story with us, how he got to an airport and someone just died, and the doctors just certified this person dead. He said, nothing concerning, he was passing, but for some reason, his wife picked interest and knelt down and started praying, and was praying and was crying. My daughter was like, what is this one doing? He said, when he heard that, he said he heard the doctor make that mockery statement, and he saw the wife. He said, I don't like seeing my wife cry. So he turned and came to the place and prayed over that brother. That brother came back to life. It was the doctor that said, this must be God. And he looked at him and said, this is God. There are many things that all this I'm an atheist, I'm this, I'm that. The answer is not only in English. The answer is in power. Shut down that rib condition, that rib pain the person is having. The person will know that there is God. Address that goiter. He will know there is God. Talk to that migraine. They will know that hand touched them. Nothing about the power of God. When he hits you, you will know. Everybody can be arguing it. But you know what you felt. You know, if hand touch you, you go no. About the power of God. Lift your hands. Oh, yes. Be magnified. Oh, Lord. I just said that song in my spirit. You are. Oh yes, be magnified. There are people God said I should talk to, and that's the last thing that I will close. I just said it in my heart. Now, don't write yourself off. And some of you that started well, we've made a lot of mistakes along the line. Stop thinking about those things. Let's start moving ahead. You know, Jimmy Swaggart died recently, this week. When Jimmy Swaggart died, I was just going through all the eulogies and all the things I was saying about him. I was telling my wife, how many of you know Jimmy Swaggart? Great man of God, one of the greatest men. He was a preacher, he was a pastor, he was a singer. Many of these songs you sing, Jimmy Swaggart wrote most of them. Like all this, let the living water flow over my soul. And let the Holy Spirit
come and take control
of
every situation that I struggle.
All my keys, powerful preacher, powerful pastor. But you know, the man suffered a big, big blow. Big scandal in his lifetime. That they thought was going to shut down his life and ministry. Pastors turned their backs on him. It's about Jimmy Swaggart. Turned their backs on him. Closed their churches to him. But you know, for some reason, he refused to stop. Fixed his ways with the Lord. And when he died, everybody was talking about great man. Oh, powerful man of God. I say it's the man that stopped that is stupid. I don't know what has played out in your past. Leave all those things. Let God start a new church. I know what I'm talking about here. Leave all those things. Some people have to use Sagat Bible. Have to study Bible. Great teacher of the world. And I saw many, when that study Bible came to Nigeria, many churches bought it and were distributing to. Some of you, I saw that Bible with you once, yes. How was Jimmy Swaggart? And I said, if this man had listened to all these things, because it was really very bad. It was really very bad. The ministry lost people, lost money. See, if I listened to all those things, you know, by now that would have been nothing on none of this. It would be history, you know, right? There's one man that used to be pretty powerful there. But then he fell. And anointing finished. Are you following me? I don't care. You have to keep going. Don't let the devil keep taking you back. We are talking about taking nations, opening, stopping deaf ears. You are still thinking of what happened yesterday. God wants to write a new story with you. Are you following me? It's time to go for the nations. It's time to go for the blind eyes. You know, the problem is, maybe God allow me to talk about this tomorrow. You know, if you are still driving your car with your rear view mirror, we are still looking at the rear view while you are moving forward. We are still looking at what happened in your past, whereas you are meant to be moving forward. Well, I just saw that in the spirit. As long as we are shouting, we will not ordinary. Some of you are still battling with, after all this, my mistakes, after all of this was in this kind of atmosphere. Stop dealing with that. God is talking about something more. God is talking about souls to win. He's talking about nations to bring to him. He's talking about the devil that will run out of town. Stop thinking about those things. There's a new day. So get set. As you get home tonight, spend time in prayer. As the Lord will lead you. If possible, settle down. Listen to this teaching again on YouTube before tomorrow. Get yourself set. Are you following me? Because from tomorrow, we have a lot of praying to do. One of the prayers we're going to pray tomorrow, we're going to start with prayer tomorrow. One person we're going to pray tomorrow is that we're going to pray for nations and cities from Nigeria to different countries. That prayer time, take it seriously. Because let me tell you, it is the man that is over the nation. You know, I told you, the result of prayer will go to the man that prayed. So we're going to pray. And I found that, I've said this many times, do you know how the Lord began to give us this Enugu? You know, we are still taking this Enugu small, small. When I came into this town, because I'll talk about that tomorrow. I didn't have a house then, so it was even okay. When I wanted to start church here, I deliberately picked different strategic parts of this town. I will get to Gariki, pay for a hotel, lodge there, pray over Gariki all night. I will go to Abakpa, lodge there, pray over Abakpa all night. I will go different parts, MNA, I've lodged all everywhere. Ask me for, I was telling Pastor that I'm about to hotel, I'm going to lodge today. I cannot tell about hotels everywhere. I will go there. Sometimes I will check online. I've gone to, even now, I don't know how I got to that place. Fine to Abakpa. Today, I'm literally, I've not gotten there yet. But I've taken that place in a 12 hours prayer watch. Are you following me? Now, suddenly you begin to see people come from different places. That is the way these things are worked. Are you getting me? And many of you that are in Enugu, you're going to do a few things. One of the things the Lord put in my heart about prayer drive. Talk to me about prayer drive. That we're not going to do inside church. One of those days, I'm going to take all of you. Thank God, God has given us cars. We might drive a distance around this town. Nobody's going to say a word in English. Praying in tongues. We're going to use the car to cover all the distance. Are you getting the point? You cover the land in prayer. When you are done, you come out physically. The demons, you guys have, you know them before you came. So we're going to pray tomorrow. You notice I'm not talking about provision here in this meeting. Or money, or be sickness. I'm talking about your life counting for something more. You fulfilling your destiny. Destiny is not that I became a great man, a great doctor. Part of your destiny is that before you died, we can read. Oh, that guy, remember when he came around our side? I used to have this appendicitis. You know, he put his hands on me and I didn't need the surgery again. That should be part of your biography when you read it. If it doesn't feature your biography, you failed as a believer. You will go to heaven, don't worry, but you failed. Are you following me? We should want more. So tomorrow, 7:30, we begin. And God will bless us in Jesus' name. Tomorrow is a big day for us as a ministry. Right? And I'm going to make a few announcements. We're going to do some things. But then, tomorrow, we're going to have a very, very sweet time in God's presence. Get set. I'll teach. But we're going to pray. I'm going to teach, stop anywhere, pray. Stop anywhere, pray. Sing. We're just going to flow like that. I thought every session is going to be a Holy Ghost meeting. I get the point. We'll just flow like that until whenever the Lord stops us. Is that okay? And Sunday is going to be one service. Yes. 8 a.m. Are you excited about that? It's one service on Sunday, 8 a.m. Because I want us to have a rich time. So we can do something. Because this meeting is short. Is it not? So we're almost finishing. But don't maximize it. That's why I started by 7:30 in the morning. Don't be late. I see some of you travel down. It will be a waste of money to travel down and come late. 7:30, we sit right there. And let's have the best of meetings we can ever have. Glory to God. Are you blessed tonight?
For more information, inquiry, or prayer requests, please visit our website at www.henryonyedikachi.com.